Gracias por acompañarnos. Mi nombre es Claudia Murphy.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me for another episode of The Volunteer Spotlight. I'm your host, and my name is Evan Starnes. I would just like to remind everybody before we get into this episode, we do have our volunteer brunch coming up. It's going to be April 19th. And yeah, I'm super excited for that. We've gotten quite a few people registered. So yeah, super good. I'll actually be kind of hovering around doing some on-the-go interviews of people. And we'll actually make it a little bit of a special thing for Volunteer Spotlight. And yeah, actually, Volunteer Spotlight is going to get a little bit more interesting in the coming months because typically we only put one episode out a month. And, you know, it's just kind of that. But, you know, I want to have a couple little specials and maybe a little mini spotlight or two. So, yeah, look forward to that. This month, we'd like to nominate Claudia Murphy. I hope I said your name right. Claudia or Claudia? Yes. Oh, perfect.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, in Spanish, it's Claudia. But, I mean, nobody can get it, so it's fine.
No, Claudia. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, but yeah, we'd like to nominate Claudia Murphy. She's been a volunteer at AfterSight for about 7 years now and has been a solid reader of the BBC Mundo and El País ever since. So yeah, how are you doing today, Claudia?
Great, thank you.
Awesome. Well, I always like to jump in with a couple of fun, silly little questions to kind of get the creative juices flowing. Okay. So, Claudia, what is your favorite thing to listen to? Do you like music, audiobooks, podcasts, or something else?
I usually listen to NPR. I mean, I like those little stories that they have. And I mean, I always learn something about, I mean, things that are interesting. So that's my favorite thing, really, to listen to NPR.
Awesome. Yeah, they have a very relaxed kind of a style. I find them very, like, calming to listen to.
Yes.
Absolutely. And last up, what is your favorite outdoor activity to do around the springtime?
Hiking. I mean, we live in Boulder, so it has to be hiking.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I met my hiking buddy when I joined AfterSight 7 years ago. I met Susie Banks there. She was also the one managing the Spanish section and everything. And I met her there, and we've been hiking ever since. I mean, I don't think she's with you anymore, but we've been friends, and we were hiking together, I mean, once a week at least.
That is awesome. Did you guys have a favorite trail?
I mean, we did different ways. She knows a lot of trails. I mean, she's the one to always discover new trails. So every time we get together, we go to a different one. But the Chautauqua one is the one that gets, it's closer to my house. So we usually go to that one. But I mean, we vary a lot. I mean, when she discovers a new one, she just takes me to that one. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, Chautauqua is probably my favorite out of all of the trails I've seen in Boulder. So, well, that's great. Well, Claudia, I'd like to start first. Before volunteering at AfterSight, what actually made you first want to volunteer in general?
Yeah, I mean, I always volunteered. I mean, I think my mom is the one who started with the volunteering thing. I mean, she always volunteered. She always helped people, even in a, I mean, not very organized way, but she would always have, like, I mean, things for kids to give away. And I mean, she would always be like that. And
awesome.
So I think it started there. And then when I moved to this country 25 years ago, that I got married, I couldn't work at first because my work permit was being tramited and all that. And so I didn't have a work permit. And so I started volunteering. I volunteered to preparing taxes. I volunteered in the Nature Conservancy. Then I volunteered with my kids. When I had kids, then I volunteered in the PTA and all that. So I've always been volunteering. And then, I mean, the last one is really AfterSight that I started volunteering 7 years ago.
Yeah, you're very active. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, prior to volunteering at AfterSight, did you have any experience, you know, messing with or recording audio or any of that?
Nothing. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I have a marketing background. So when I was working at a company, I had to do some interviews and radio, but it was very just like 2 minutes. So when I saw this, the ad for the volunteering at the radio station, it was something that I was not very comfortable with. But it was, I think it was New Year's, and I wanted to try something new. And so I said, let's just go and do it. And so I just went and interviewed with Susie Banks that was there. And I mean, just started like that. So it's been, I mean, it was a little uncomfortable at first, but I think it's been great.
That's awesome. What was it like for you the very, very first time you hit record and you recorded your first episode?
I think it was during the interview that Susie just told me, hey, just go here and read this. And it was, I don't know, a piece of news or something in Spanish. And I just started reading it, but I didn't think a lot about it. I thought she's just going to be, I mean, listening to me, but she was recording it. And that was my first episode. So after that, she said, just, I mean, yeah, you can keep volunteering, just keep reading the thing for half an hour and then you're done. You can go. So it was pretty easy. I think that it was in Spanish. So for me, something being Spanish, it's much easier for me. So if it's in Spanish, then I can get it done. So if it was in Spanish, so I just didn't think about it a lot. Like, it was easy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what would be probably one of the most memorable moments in your 7 years of volunteering?
Oof. I mean, I like before COVID and all that I would go to the station, and every time I would, I mean, because I didn't do it remotely before, and I would go and just hang out with the girls. It was Susie, and it was, I think, Roxana was there. And so I would go there and just spend time with them. I mean, I think that was very enjoyable when we had that. Then Absolutely. After COVID, I just got lazy and I just record at home. So it's just, I think I might have to go back to the studio for a little bit at least, so that I can bring that back.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're always open. You just got to book a studio, and yeah, you're more than welcome to do so. And what honestly is, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you continuously volunteering, continuously reading the BBC Mundo and El País week to week?
Yeah, they have great stories, like really great stories. I learned a lot. Now I find myself just sharing this with a lot of people. Like, I mean, really, I've learned a lot. And then my family in Mexico, all my family's in Mexico, I'm the only one here. So they listen to that too. So some of the stories that I read, I really read something that, oh, that might be interesting for my niece, or that might be interesting for my sister, or this. And they have always like great stories, like really, really good stories. So, I mean, I enjoy it a lot. It's a lot of, I learned a lot.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And your son was a volunteer for us for a while too. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. My son, he helped me with one episode one time. I was not feeling okay or something, and he really enjoyed it. He's bilingual too. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to practice a little bit his Spanish as well. And he started volunteer with you guys. And then, I mean, he's in 12th grade right now. So he's starting with college and applications and all that. So he had to give it up. But I mean, I think he misses it. But I mean, he doesn't have time right now. But it was great. I think he enjoyed it.
That's awesome. And back to you. Is there any particular like personal barriers or struggles when reading that you kind of had to overcome? And just for just an example for me, I have had to get around my shyness when talking to people, and the what's called mic fright, which mm-hmm. a lot of people have. But did you have any struggles that you had to overcome?
You know, not really. I think that I'm telling you, really, when something is in Spanish, I don't know why it's just so much easier. Like, it would be a struggle if it was in English. I mean, I think that when you're bilingual and when you have to live in a country where they don't speak your language, everything is so difficult. Even if you've been here for so many years, like, you just always have to be thinking. And when you do something in your own language, it's just so much easier. So I think that helped a lot, like, to make it really, really easy for me.
Absolutely. Well, and I've heard from, numerous sources that being bilingual is, it's better for the brain, but it also kind of, it makes you more of a quick thinker. And in regards to the Spanish language, I honestly find it myself just a little bit easier to decipher and a little bit more of a logical language. There's no rules. There's no exceptions to rules. You know, it's not like English.
Yeah. No, it has its own things, but I mean, to speak properly, I think a second language is difficult. I mean, you can make yourself understand. I mean, but it's to speak it really properly, it's very difficult without any mistakes or anything. I think you have to just not to worry about making mistakes and just speak and just try to communicate, and that's it.
Absolutely. What do you have like a little process or something that you do prior to hitting record? I know some people, we had one episode with a volunteer and she had a motto of stretch, relax, focus, which has that, well, that was the title of the episode. And that kind of became a thing that we encourage other volunteers to do. But yeah, how do you prepare for recording?
I usually read lots of the news. And then when I find one that I'm really interested in, I mean, that's what I do. I just write down whichever news I want to read and whichever titles I see that are interesting. And then I read them and I go through them I find the ones that I like. The time is the thing that's a little bit, difficult for me to control. Like, I never know really how long it's going to take to read one article. I mean, I'm getting better at it, but still sometimes it surprises me. Like, some of them just take longer than you would think. So that's the only thing, I have to be looking at, like, the time, just to not go over the time. But that's the only thing I do really to prepare. I mean, it's been 7 years, so it's really getting easier and easier.
And it'll continue to get easier and easier. And that the time thing is a concern, it's a factor I've heard from other volunteers, because especially if you're constrained to like a 25-minute show, it's really hard to not be reading or looking at the time, the counter at the bottom, because it's easy to get really engrossed in an article and then, oh no, you're over 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, now it's your turn. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me, Evan Starnes, or the entirety of Aftersight?
Yeah, I was talking to Jennifer the other day, and she was sharing with me some of the metrics and everything. It's so interesting, really, all that you do, guys. And I'm just really, because I usually record and forget about it, and I really don't think about it anymore. But she was sharing the metrics and the things, and it's very, very interesting, all the things that you are doing and the things that you are developing now with the new Aftersight. I think it's great. What I would like to know maybe is, and I talked to Jennifer about this, is know a little bit more of how the Spanish part is going to fit in. Because I know you're doing a lot of things in English, but I don't know if the Spanish is going to be also as important as what you do in English, or it's going to be a different route because it's more towards maybe people who cannot read, or I don't know if it's a different audience or what it is, but if you have any info about the Spanish side or how it's going to work out.
Oh, absolutely. The Spanish side is very important. It's actually kind of a big priority right now. So we're actually looking for more Spanish readers because we've got a lot of shows that don't have a reader just yet that are Spanish. And a lot of our shows, a couple of our most popular shows are Spanish shows. So, yeah, we're really trying to focus on that. What I'm hoping to see here in the next coming months, we are talking about maybe having somebody that specializes in the Spanish language that particularly can do things like outreach and then volunteer on boardings and, you know, really just trying to get our Spanish programming up. Because unfortunately right now, we've got a lot of shows, just not a lot of readers. So,
yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's really interesting what you do and everything. And yeah, I might get involved in that, outreach thing and all that. I think it's interesting always to know what Spanish-speaking people are doing and what they want to listen to and all that. So that sounds like fun.
It is. It's very fulfilling, really, is what it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, believe it or not, this is a bit of a shorter episode. We've actually kind of almost reached the end here. But are there any final maybe words of inspiration or pieces of advice or anything that you'd like our audience to walk away with?
I think it's important to always volunteer and always do something I read many articles about this when I read BBC News and all those things. that really giving is the most important thing. It just really makes you happy. So it's so let's just keep giving and keep volunteering. I think that everybody would benefit from that. The people who give and who volunteer are the ones who receive.
Absolutely. And it really does, it does make you happy. It makes people happier. It's fulfilling. And I think just the fact that you're giving to others, you know, whether it's your voice, your expertise, your, you know, whatever it may be, it's a beautiful thing. So yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, Claudia, I'd like to personally thank you so much for coming on the spotlight today and taking the time to let me talk at you for a bit.
Thank you. It was great meeting you, Evan.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You. And with that being said, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. Please stay tuned for future episodes as they come out. And especially for some specials that we'll be releasing in the coming months. Do not forget to, if you're a volunteer or, you know, if you'd like to come to our volunteer lunch, don't forget to register or RSVP for that. Also, we do have our Audio Trekkers hike coming up on July 27th. You can go to aftersight.org/hike to register for that. But it's going to be a great time. We're going to be up at Myers Gulch going on this really beautiful hike and then have a lunch back at Aftersight. And I will be interviewing people there as well. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback that you'd like us to hear, you can always email feedback@aftersight.org, or you can call our feedback hotline at 720-712-8856. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm your host, Evan Starnes, and I'll catch y'all next month.